LifePoint Church. Check us out, lifepoint.org.au.
Hello again. Again, if you're here for the first time at church, I saw a few faces I didn't know as I was coming in today. I just wanted to say huge welcome. We want you to find a place here. We want you to join us. We want you to find family. So, yeah, I'm actually going to make it feel a little bit like family right now because I'm going to make a confession, okay? I'm going to confess something to you guys as the pastor at this church, all right? You guys are like, which one is it? There's so many things you can confess, Dan. Finally. Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm an apple-holic. Not the fruit, unfortunately, because that would be healthy. I do like the pink ladies. They're very nice. But the fruit, again, the fruit. I love Apple products way too much. And I have to make a confession to you. I had a really disappointing week. I got my iPhone 8, and if you're an Apple fan and you got an iPhone 8, you shouldn't close off an Apple fan because it's 2 years old. Okay, so get rid of it. And I've been wanting to get rid of it. And something incredibly blessing happened to me, incredibly good. The speaker in my phone broke this week. And I couldn't hear people calling me. So one, I didn't have to talk to any of you guys. And two, that's just a joke. And two, I had a justification to get a new phone. Praise be to God. And I was like, yes, I get to get a new phone now. My bank account really can't deal with it, but I can justify it. So I'm going to go do it. So I went into the Apple store with my sob story, thinking I might be able to get a bit of money for the old one. I said, yeah, like the speaker's busted, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And they took it away, and they came back. And friends, something bad happened. They said, Dan, we got some good news. We fixed the speaker, and it works perfectly, and we're not going to charge you a thing. And I was like, no! I've never seen a more disappointed person. I went, I just something about Apple products. This is the latest iPhone. Would you just look and see how incredible that is? Who's calling me right now? Bruce Harbottle. All right, I'm putting this on flight mode for people that can't play fair. That's good. Then, would you just feast your eyes on this beauty, would you? Like, isn't it amazing? You know it's good. It's got three cameras. How good is that? I don't know why anyone needs three cameras, but it's good. And I went into the Apple store at Chermside. If you've ever been there, you know it's the temple. It's where you go to worship. And it's got stained glass of all the glory that you can have. And I went there, and there's the altar where you bring your sacrifice to receive satisfaction and you to receive salvation. It's a spiritual experience. Not in a good way. I know I'm being blasphemous, but that's what it's like. I think we have a priest in the house. Is Chris Story here tonight? Yes, we do. An Apple employee. A priest of idolatry. Good to see you, Chris. Repent and believe. But no. Yeah, okay, thank you. Yes. Can you sort me out? And I thought, as I walked away, and I was aching for this product, and that literally was the photo that was up there on the side as I was walking away, and I was like, oh, looking at my awful, disgusting phone that's 2 years old. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, what's wrong with my heart that I've been dreaming about getting this phone for like 2 weeks, and now I can't get it, and there's this ache inside of me. There's like an iPhone-shaped hole in my heart. That now has not been satisfied. That's wrong, isn't it? That's sick. Now, you guys might be sitting there looking at me thinking, you awful person. But can I just say, can you get the log out of your own eye before you look at the speck in mine, okay? Because I'm sure you've got something in your own life too going on that you long for. What is it for you, all right? I've got some options up here on the screen. Do you want a new TV? Is it a holiday? Is it a new wardrobe? Maybe you just look at your wardrobe and you're like, I just want a whole new one. My wife sometimes says that to me. I've got nothing to wear. Like, nothing. I can see 58 things. Nothing to wear. Is it a new fishing rod? Is it a fishing boat? That'd be nice. Is it a brand new car? Is it just something small, something shiny? Is it a house? Is it a really nice meal at a really nice restaurant? What is it that you're like, I long for it. And if I can't have that one thing, I'm not sure I'm going to be okay. Here's the reason we're like this, okay? If you grew up in Australia or a country that is like Australia, The reality is you grew up in a country where the national religion was consumerism. All right? That is our natural, it's not on the census, but that actually is the national religion of Australia. I am because I buy. And the national slogan in this religion of consumerism is I don't have enough. And that's actually, the whole entire economy works off that idea. I don't have enough. And when the economy starts to go down, what do? They give people more money. So, you didn't realize you don't have enough. You actually need to buy some more. And like it or not, you've been discipled in the religion of consumerism since you were a baby. I should know. I used to be on a kids' TV show, and part of my job was discipling children that toys were salvation. Literally. Like we were funded by Hasbro and SeaWorld and Mattel and all these toy manufacturers that gave us money on the show to say how good toys were and say, kids, if we didn't use these words, but kids, if you don't have this, you're not okay, basically. And from a very young age, you were looking at ads, you were looking at movies, you were getting a sense that if I could just have this, I would be okay. You got to admit it. There's two options. You can even admit it, or you can not admit it, and you'll find out later. Ever hear that story of the two fish swimming along in the ocean? And there's one fish and says, hey, does this water feel cold to you? The other one says, water? What's water? Did you get it? Obviously, you didn't laugh, but you didn't get it. It wasn't very funny, I'll be honest. But the idea is, if you're in water, how would a fish know what water is? That's just what their life. How do we know what consumerism is? We swim in it every single day. That is our life. It leads to some problems in Australian culture. Let's have a look at some of these problems. Over 60% of the population live month to month. So over 60% of people, money comes in, money goes out. They're like, woo, that was fun. What a ride. I've got nothing left. I've got no idea what's going on with my money. That's a huge percentage of people, isn't it? That are just living paycheck to paycheck. No control over what's happening. Australia, this is scary, has the third most indebted households on earth, okay? Now, household debt has increased 79% in the last 10 years. This is for you math students, but our incomes have grown by just 38%. So do the math. In the last 10 years, we are crazy in debt, up to our eyeballs in debt as a nation. And the most common reason for divorce is financial conflict. Not only is money tearing our minds apart, it's tearing our relationships apart. Money. Oh, this is really freaked me out this week. I was in Westfield and I was at that, that giant iPad where you find out where you want to go? That thing? I was at that thing and I hit search because I was trying to find a shop. And the first filter that came up is, would you like to only show stores that accept Afterpay? That was the filter. You know what Afterpay is? I'm going to take it now and I'm going to pay for it later. I thought to myself, this is sick. This is like not the good sick, the bad sick. You could tick this box. It's a good thing for you. Only show me stores that can give me things I literally can't afford. I can't get that. I don't have any money to get that. It's not mine. But they'll still give it to me. So yeah, here you go. Yeah, no, don't worry about it later. And that's the big filter. There's something sick in our culture, in our society. Dallas Willard, he says, one of my great heroes, I think I quote him every second sermon, look him up. He says that credit cards are the biggest current obstacle to spiritual growth in America. Now, that's probably an overstatement, okay? That's a bit extreme. But money is a big deal. And it doesn't matter tonight if you're a teenager, all right, got a part-time job, or your parents give you money, or you're a retired person, or you're currently working, or you're a student, it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. All right, this is for you. Money can take hold of our lives. Jesus was the smartest person who ever lived. He was the wisest. He was the most intelligent. He understood the most out of anyone that ever lived. And he knew about this being a big problem. He spoke about money more than really any other topic, if you have a look at what he talked about. Because he understood these people, they need to be free from this God. There are 2,300 verses on finance in the Bible. The Bible talks more about finance than it does about prayer. Now, I'm going to be honest. As a pastor, I don't like talking about money. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I feel like you might be thinking, you're just talking about this so that you might give me money. Like you might give the church money. Like I somehow want your money. Just so I know, I don't work on commission. Just so you guys know, like I just get paid by the church. And thank you very much for giving to the church. But it doesn't matter how, that doesn't change depending on what you give. Just so you know. There's actually nothing in it for me in this sermon. That there is something in it for you. Because God wants you to be free and joyful when it comes to your finances. Here's the ultimatum. This could challenge you. Here's the ultimatum. Ultimatum that the greatest teacher that ever lived says in the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. Matthew 6. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or there's no other choice, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and Satan. Oh, no. God and evil. God and sin. God and selfishness. How can none of that? You think those things would be bigger than money, but that's not what Jesus says. Because the biggest thing you're going to have to battle is who are you going to serve between God and money. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? And he was talking to people who are poor. Like we, no matter who you are, you could be on Centrelink today and just on the, you know, on Newstart on something really low, and you're still one of the richest people in the world. What would Jesus say to really rich people like us in Australia? God or money, what's it going to be? Here's the thing about money that I've noticed. It's really bossy. Money very quickly becomes the boss. It's a little bit like my daughter. My daughter, Harmony. Harmony is a natural leader, which is a nice way of saying she's bossy. Okay? She just does this. Like, no matter what, like, see, that you're pointing where I should go, what I should do. Anyone that's met my daughter will know, you know, you start talking to her, and after 5 minutes, you're doing something for her. And you're like, what just happened? I'm like, hey, Harmony, let's play hide and seek. She's like, okay, Daddy, hide and seek. Yeah, sounds fun. And then within 5 minutes, I don't know how it happened, but she's like, Daddy, say I'm a princess. You're a princess. Now walk over there. Okay. Now put this dress on. Okay, darling. Wear the crown. Not that crown, this crown. Okay, now do a dance. Not like that, Daddy, the proper one. Okay. I'm doing this, I'm like sitting there like this, doing some dance. And Zeke walks past, my son, and Zeke's like, Daddy, remember, you're the boss. I'm like, hey, yeah, I am the boss. This little four-year-old bossing me around. What is going on here? I remember one time when Zach was living with us for a bit. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but Harmony came in and she like, Uncle Zach, can you come with me for a bit? And Zach's like, oh, this is really nice. Harmony's going to be really nice to me. And she grabbed his hand and she put him into his room and she said, stay here, and shut the door and just walked away. What the? I love it. By the way, I love my daughter so much. But I don't know how it happens, but she becomes the boss. See, here's the thing. My money is like my money. Do you like that? That's how it works. Money does the same thing. You don't set out to let money be the boss. You don't set out to let it lead, to let it win, to let it be your master, to be enslaved to it, to be devoted to it. No one sits there going, oh, gee, I love money. But without you realizing it, it's powerful. And you just start to be, as Jesus said, devoted to it. You might say, Dan, that's those greedy rich people. That's not me. I'm not devoted to money. I've seen people that are devoted to money. It's disgusting. I don't even have much money. I'm just a normal, probably poor person. And I have not got a problem with money. I'm not devoted. But let me ask you this question. How many of you, and this is because you've been raised in this culture, how many of you believe deep down in your heart, not in your mind, in your heart, that if I gave you $100 million tomorrow, your life would become heaven-like? How many of you, if you're honest, say, don't put your hand up, but like, actually, yeah, that would be heaven. And have you seen the lotto ads? It's an advertisement for the kingdom of heaven. It literally is an advertisement. Like, it's like, this is paradise, friends. If you're wanting to know what the greatest thing you could ever have would be, it would be, wouldn't it be nice to win a million? It'd be on a yacht. It'd be a picture of heaven. It'd be beautiful community and friendship and love and no pressure on you and everything's right and every problem you have is gone. We know in our head that those people that have millions of dollars, and I've met lots of them, they're not happy either. But we think, and something in our head, our head's different to our heart. Our heart goes, no, oh, that would be it for me. Money can so easily have our devotion. So let's do a heart check, all right? Some possible signs in your life that you are devoted to money. This is going to get challenging. Okay. You daydream about things you want to buy. Because what we dream about in our spare time shows what we really care about, where our mind just wanders to, like the new iPhone Max Pro. You struggle to give large amounts of money away. You need it. You can't let go of it. You spend it as soon as you get it. You're jealous of other people's stuff or incomes. You worry about money a lot. You compulsively check your account balance. You are stressed about bills and expenses. You run to buy something when you're feeling low. You fight about spending in your relationships, or you're secretive about what you earn or what you spend or what you save. There's just some symptoms that maybe money has got a hold on your heart. Pause for effect. But it's okay. When you come to church, I promise you, you're going to get good news, okay? Because here's the good news. Jesus is a rescuer. And Jesus is never going to let us be trapped. Because Jesus is a savior. And he has come. Not so that we can be enslaved to money, to be devoted to something that really hates us and doesn't want anything to do with us, like money. He's come to rescue us. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, can I just tell you guys, it might seem weird, but it's this kind of passage in Matthew. It's also in the other Gospels as well. But it's in Matthew, from like Matthew 5 to like Matthew 7. And it is just the greatest teaching you'll ever read. It's unsurpassed. It's a picture. And it's a guide for flourishing. I just love it. Here's what Jesus says. This snaps us out of slavery to an awful master. Do not, I guess before I read this, just picture you've never heard this before. Some of you guys have been in church before, a few of you, and you've heard this before. Just pretend you never heard it. It's fresh. All right. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For, and this is the boom, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Friends, let me tell you, that has been rolling around in my head for the last 2 weeks. On one hand, it means where you spend your treasure will show where your heart is. Hey, so it's like, okay, I'm spending money on donuts. I obviously love donuts. Like if you ever want to know what your heart really is like, if you're interested, it's really easy. You can do it right now. Just open your phone. If you've got a bank account, go into your bank details and hit the thing that says transactions. And you look at it. That is where your heart is. So next time you get your bank summary, just think love summary, okay? When you get your bank statement come to you, just think, this is my love statement. Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because we can fake it. Did you know we can fake it? Christians are actually really good at faking it. We can pretend to love God at church. That's the easiest place to pretend to love God, by the way. We can even pretend to love God sometimes at home. But where it's really hard to pretend is to pretend and give lots of your money away, isn't it? It's like, oh gosh, what am I doing here? Like, it's hard to pretend that part. That's why our wallet is often the last thing to be converted to the lordship, to the kind of, to the way of the kingdom, to God being king. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But just recently, I've been thinking about this, and I'm starting to see this scripture in a brand new light. I'm starting to see the scripture not as just that where your money is, it shows what you love. I'm starting to see it the other way around too. It works both ways. What you do with your money, what you do with what you spend on actually creates your love. So where your treasure is, there your heart will start to be also. Does that make sense? It's like a flip. Let me illustrate it. Like, does anyone here watch The Block? Any The Block fans? No one's willing to admit it. It's like, you want to come and confess? Come and confess. Come on down the front. I don't like The Block. I've never been into it. I find it, well, I'm not handy, so I just feel inadequate looking at these people. And I haven't got that good, you know, eye for design or anything. And I just think the whole thing's hammed up and it's ridiculous. And they're trying to make, you know, dramas out of nothing. And I don't like it. My wife loves it. And she's currently breastfeeding a little baby, so she's got a bit more time just to sit there. What am I going to do? She sometimes puts The Block on. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, that as I spend time looking at it, something weird happens to my heart. I don't like it, but it happens. I'm walking past. I'm like, what is this rubbish? I hate that thing. Oh, what a cool what they're saying. They always say that. Oh, she would say that too, the rat bag. Oh, those two are always like that. I hope they win. Oh, hang on. Oh, my gosh. Why did they do that? No. I hate that judge. And I start, I don't know. And I got to admit, guys, here's my second confession. I like The Block. I do. Even saying that, I feel sick. But I do. Something about it has captivated my heart. Why? Because I started to spend time on it. I started to put my treasure, as in my time, into it. And what you spend your time on, have you ever noticed what you spend your time on you end up loving? Even something you didn't used to love? Like, I started going to the gym about 6 months ago. Thank you. And you're like, really? Really? And I don't work very hard. And at first, I was like, I literally hate this. Like, I can't think of anything worse than getting up early in the morning and doing this. But after a while, I'm like, as I spend on it, I actually really enjoy it. Have you ever had this happen? Because this is how we work. This is Jesus who knows us better than we know ourselves. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will go also. So, guys, friends, this is really good news, okay? Here's the good news. You want to hear it? You can change what you love. You can actually change. Have you heard of that John Mayer song, You Love Who You Love, Who You Love? No? Okay, no one knows. Two people. Yeah, and Kate Perry, yeah. And there's this line in it, you can't make yourself stop dreaming who you're dreaming of. And I hated that song because I'm like, oh, rubbish. So what, someone's like in a relationship, like they're married, and they're like, well, I don't love you anymore, I love that person. And you love who you love, well, who cares? And I was like, that's awful. Until I realized, this is actually kind of true. In that moment, you do love who you love, and you can't stop it. You cannot act on it, but there's something in your heart. Like if I'm going on a diet, and on the first day of my diet, someone brings Krispy Kreme to the office, I can't go, I just don't even like Krispy Kremes. I don't love it. I just don't. Give me one. Like, you love who you love in that moment. But here's the good news. You can change who you love tomorrow. Not today. You can change who you love tomorrow. You can actually change. You can change by joyfully, and by joyfully, it doesn't mean you're like, yay. It's like, no, I know this is where my joy is. Even if I'm not feeling it, I know I'm going to choose joy. This is where my joy is going to be. I'm going to store up treasure in heaven. And eventually, you will love heaven. It's like God says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. As in, just start seeking it. Oh, I don't feel like it. That's okay. You don't have to feel like it. I didn't say feel like it. I said, start seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, eventually, you'll love God. And when you love God, my goodness, that's like the highest thing. That's like everything else will be given to you as well. That's what the scripture says. So, here's the cool thing about money. It sounds like I've been really hard on money. Money is an awful master, but the good thing is it's an incredible servant. There's actually nothing wrong with money. Sometimes Christians have a funny thing about money, like it's evil. Money is not evil. Money is actually wonderful. Why do you think God keeps giving it to us? He wants to bless us. Money is not bad. Money is an amazing servant. Money can help people. Money can feed people. Money can advance the gospel. Money can just buy you beautiful things, and God sometimes just loves us to have beautiful things because he's a wonderful father. Money's a really bad master, but an incredible servant. So here's the deal. It's pineapple time, all right? Now, these are the cutest pineapples you've ever seen in your life. They're amazing. I couldn't find big ones, but they're little and cute. Here's what God does. If you're wondering what the heck I'm talking about the pineapples, all right? God looks at you and he says, I'm going to give you look how cute it is. I'm going to give you money, resources. And he gives you a pineapple. And then, because he's God, he gives you another pineapple. And he is just such a lavish, loving God. He continues to give you pineapples. And, okay, this is going to take too long. And he gives everyone, and my symbol for, He gives everyone in this world 10 pineapples, all right? Let's just say that. Everyone gets 10 pineapples. And 10, but when I say 10 pineapples, I mean you get given that amount. You could get whatever amount of money you have, that is 10 pineapples, okay? Now, you might think your pineapples are really small like this, and the person down the road has giant big pineapples. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You might think, I want 11 pineapples. I hate having 10. And here's the reality. No one's given 11 pineapples. Not one person on earth has more money than God's given them. God's given everyone 10. God's given everyone the amount he wants them to have for now in this season. All right? So, what do we do with 10 pineapples that God's given us? Well, first of all, we go, God, we said this every week when we do our offering and we do our giving. So, God, this is all yours. I didn't earn it. I said, I worked hard for this, you know. I slogged my gutters. I went 40 hours a week. I went to work. And that's true. That's good. But you didn't earn it. Like, who gave you your body and your mind to be able to do that? God did. Actually, everything you have is a gift from God. So the first thing we do is we look at our 10 pineapples and we go, wow, that's a lot. All right? Next time you open your bank account up, instead of going, ugh, I want you to go, wow, that's a lot. God has blessed me. Don't look at the person down the road. Don't look at their bank account, okay, or what they're wearing or what they've got. Because really, we live in Australia. Like, do you want to play the comparison game? Really? Do you want to start looking at people in the world and what they've got? Like, you are so blessed. Wow. And then there's this principle, and it's like a giant saying to money, I'm the boss, okay? Here is how you say to money, no, I'm the boss. Here's how to tell your money where to go. There's this principle in the Bible, and it actually starts off in Genesis, and it's not a law. It starts off with, actually, Abraham has this just spontaneous act of worship. And what he does is, he's got big pineapples, Abraham. He's really rich. And he just grabs one of them. And he says, this is for God. And he gives it to the priest. Gives it to the person doing God, kind of running God's house. And then later on, it becomes like a law. It becomes something that God says, hey, here's a path to flourishing in your life. Just one out of the 10. It's called the tenth. Or in old language, you might have heard it called the tithe. That just means tenth. And it's a principle that says, the first part of what I've got isn't mine. Isn't for me to live on. The first part of what I got, this is God's. Before I understand what's going to happen next. Before I meet my needs or the needs of the people around me. First thing I'm going to do is say, God, I love you. And money, you're not the boss of me. Now, you might not be a Christian here tonight. This might be your first time at church. You might think, oh, yeah, the pastor's saying, give me the pineapples. Like, give me all your money. And that's not the case at all. The reality is that, like, Warren Buffett, he's not a Christian. He's one of the richest men in the world. Did you know that he does this too? It's actually a really smart thing to do, to take the first 10% of your money and give it away. He says, I find it gives me distance from my money, so I'm not attached to it, so I can make good decisions and get really rich. Because he's actually really rich. Now, I'm not saying God wants you to get really rich. He might. That's not a bad thing. But I am saying, this is principle all through the Bible of saying, I want to give the first to God. I want to give my tenth to him. Now, if you're smart, you won't just give the tenth. You put the tenth and you'll put it over here and you say, that's God. So that's going to stay over here now. And you'll also take another one of these pineapples and you'll put it over here. And you'll say, I'm not going to touch that. I'm going to put it in savings, okay? I'm going to put it in savings for a rainy day. Because one day something bad's going to happen, and believe me, it will. Or there's going to be some big need somewhere, and I'm going to go, man, I'm glad I put that one away. Have you heard of this principle before? It's called the 10-10-80 rule. It's life-changing. It really is. It changes everything in your life. 10-10-80. There's a graph for those who don't like pineapples, those who like maths. Give, save, live. give away 10%, save 10%, and live off 80%. Now, where do you give? Okay, that's your savings. Don't give that. What about this? Where do you give? Now, look, if you're a part of this church, I'd say to you, I reckon this is the place you should give. In the Old Testament, they gave it to the Levites. But if you're suspicious of this church, you're suspicious of pastors and Christian people that want money, just don't give it to us. Give it to someone else, okay? It's actually, I can assure you, God is not sitting there going, man, I wish I had some more pineapples. God's fine. God doesn't actually need it. God's got plenty of pineapples, actually. Give it somewhere. Just test this principle out. Give it away and say, it's not mine. And you will find something incredible happen in your life. Maybe you will find that you are not a slave to money anymore. Does that make sense? So, what do we do? Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to, some of you guys, I know it's hard because your money comes in and out, and you know it's hard because it's not regular, but no matter who you are, I know you can do this. I want to challenge you. 10, 10, 80. I want to challenge you to put aside the first 10% when it comes in of your wage and go, that's not mine. When you look at, you know, when you get your paycheck, when you get told what you're going to get paid per year or per month, I want you to look at that and think, 80% of that is mine to live off. 80% is what I can afford. 80% of that can get me food and accommodation and a new iPhone, okay? Nothing wrong with that, praise God. But 80% is what I've got to live off, and the rest. And I got to tell you guys, this might seem so simple, but it's life-changing. I've done this since I was a kid. My dad taught me to do it, and I was like, you know, I was working at Williams the Schumann for like $6 an hour. I'm like, yeah, but I need to buy Redskins, Dad. Like, I don't know why I'm really big on Redskins. And I'm like, well, I can't do this. And Dad's like, just do it anyway. And I did. I got to tell you, like, I was talking to my wife, Steph, this week, and we have never had a worry about finances, ever. I couldn't believe it when I said, I've never actually had a moment where I was worried about money. Something that worries like 80% of Australia. What a superpower. What if you could not worry about the thing that worries 80% of people? That is what is on offer when we follow the ways of Jesus. They say finance is one of the things that couples fight about the most. I can honestly say, I'm not just trying to big myself up, but we've never had a serious fight in my marriage about finances ever. And when I talk to people that have got problems with their finances, and I do quite a lot in church, like it's a big issue, and I understand why it is. The first question I always ask is, have you heard of 10-10-80? And in my experience, just in my anecdotal experience, 100% of people that are having money problems don't do this. Now, you might say, well, what about, you know, someone said to me before, what about the New Testament? This is an Old Testament rule. It's a law in the Old Testament. The New Testament, it's about freedom, isn't it? It's actually not about having to do this certain thing and the entire thing is a law. And if that's what you think, I actually say, yes, that's true. Like Paul says, everything is permitted, but not everything is beneficial. You can ignore this principle if you want to. You're also allowed to shove a pencil up your nose if you want to, okay? You can do whatever you want. But that doesn't mean it's a good idea, okay? Just because you can doesn't mean it's actually something that's good for you. In fact, if you want to talk about percentages in the New Testament, Jesus talks about a widow that doesn't tithe. She gives away everything she's got. And I know so many of you in this room actually do that. You don't give away one pineapple. You give away two pineapples or three or four or five pineapples. You're actually incredibly generous and going above and beyond, not because you have to, because it's an act of love and worship. Now, before I finish, what if you don't want to do this? Okay, let's just be honest. Like, what if you're like, nah, I don't want to do it? Let's have a look at a passage in the Old Testament, Malachi 3:10. This is like the classic passage on the 10th. God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You might not want to do this. To that I say, you know what? That's okay. I didn't waste to not want to do it either. But do it anyway. Just do it. Just try it. Because where your treasure goes, there your heart will go also. It's super simple. It's super practical. I got to tell you, it's a river of grace. It's my challenge to you guys. Tonight, tomorrow, whenever it is, do yourselves a little budget. Put this principle into play in your life. And that test God. Test God to see what happens. You might be thinking, I know there's a few people in the room thinking, all right, Dan, all very well for you, rich guy, but you have not seen my finances. Like, I literally have no money. Or I'm crazy in debt. Like, there's just not a chance I could do something like all this stuff. To you, I would say, try it anyway. Just try it. Just test it. Why don't you just give yourself a month? I'm just going to try this for a month. And if I end up homeless on the side of the road, then you could stop doing it, okay? That's okay. If that's what happens to you. I don't think it will. I think that God is good and he will always provide for you. Because I got to tell you, in my life, living on the 9/10 with God is way better than living on the 10/10 away from God. Like, what would you call someone? Like, if you gave, just imagine you're a pineapple giver, all right? We've all been there. And you've got, like, all these pineapples. And you go up to someone and you say, hey, here's 10 pineapples. I want you to have them. And they're like, whoa, I love pineapples. They're so sour and tangy. Like, awesome. And you have them. And then you say to them, hey, actually, sorry, I gave you 10. Do you mind just putting one aside for me? And what would you say to someone that went, one, oh, sorry, I need that one too. I need all the pineapples. What would you say to them? Greedy. Wouldn't you? I just want to challenge you with that. Like, that means someone who has their devotion to money, doesn't it? I want to put this down because they hurt. Is God worth one pineapple? Well, actually, no, he's not. He's worth 10 pineapples, isn't he? He's worth, trick question. He's worth all the pineapples. He's like, God, you can have it all. But to start with, it's like the beginner's guide to budgeting. He's just asked for one. So let's worship him. Let's say yes to God. Let's surrender to God and say, you are good. This is what our God is after. Isn't he good? He wants us to be free. He wants us to be joyful. Put your hand up right now if you would love to be a joyful, generous person that never, ever worried about finances. Yes? A few hands up in the air. Not so much around here. Okay, that's all right. No judgment. If that is you, I've got something really good news tonight. That is on offer through Jesus Christ, his life and his teaching. So let's stand up. Come on, stand up on your feet. Let's respond to him. Remember, this is about freedom. This is not about condemnation. This is not about religion. As we sang before, we laid down our religion. Let's pray. God, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you that every good gift we have is from you. We just praise you for that. We just thank you we get to live in this country. We are powerful, wealthy people because of where we live. And we did nothing to deserve to be here. It's a free gift. It's grace. We just acknowledge that everything we have, even if we get paid $5 of pocket money a week, we get paid $50 a week or $500 or $5,000 a week. We've got 10 pineapples, Father, and we just say thank you. Thank you for what you've given us. You are so good. Thank you for this beautiful principle of the tenth, of the tithe. That you don't need, but we do. God, would you free us from devotion to money? Just pray in this house that we might just be a people that just say, rack off to money, I'm the boss. And then we won't be filled with consumerism like the people around us, God. God, may we be free, joy-filled, loving people that just love to give away the things that you've given us. We just want to pray in this room right now for anyone who is in a bit of a financial mess right now. who's just struggling right now, just feels condemnation and extreme guilt and shame for what's happening in their financial world. I just want to pray for you right now. God is not, he's not a condemner. He's not condemning you. He loves you. He's leaning into you right now and saying, my child, it's all right. And he's convicting you because he wants to free you, not condemn you. God, I just pray for the young people in this room that haven't quite yet got to the stage where they're earning money. Oh, God, would you just help give them the right principles they need to get them through life? Ultimately, God, we just look to you, the faithful one, the provider, the one that will give us everything we need. We say, God, you are good. You are faithful. You are so good, you went to the cross and you died for us. And you set us free from rules. You set us free from the God of money. It's all been purchased already, God. So help us to live in what has already been bought for us. Help us to walk in the freedom that you've already won on the cross. God, help us to put our treasure in heaven where it will never be taken away from us. Help us to be diligent, wise stewards of what you've given us, God. We glorify you, we worship you in this house. Amen. 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 Yeah. One of the greatest things that changes our heart is actually worship. Like, in singing, I guess, love. Singing is only one part of worship, but singing is just like putting your treasure to God. Actually letting it pass out of your lips, through your mind, out of your heart and say, hey, God, we're going to sing a song now that just says, God, you are good. I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. So I just ask you, just lean in. Just sing it out. Let's just be a church that says yes to everything that God has given us. Amen.
LifePoint Church. Check us out, lifepoint.org.au. We'd love to see you at one of our church services. Just visit lifepoint.org.au for all the details.